Hello and welcome along to Under Construction. I'm Donnacha Callan and I'm delighted to be joining our host, Pat Moore. Pat, how are you?
All good, Donnacha. Yourself?
Did you miss me?
I missed you loads.
Of course
you
did.
It was such a sad time in the last 4 weeks without you.
Pat, we are chatting self-builds today, the benefits, all the challenges. It's going to be a really interesting pod.
Yeah, no, it is an interesting pod. There are many challenges and absolute huge amount of benefits when you do your own self-builds. You can put your own stamp on the project. So look, we're lucky to have the guests we have today who can fill us in a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. Stuck in the middle of it at the moment is Niamh de Bruin Reid. Niamh, how are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, we are delighted to have you. You're busy. You're, you know, on social media, but also outside. Your beautiful little baby Harper's with us today.
She surely is. She's asleep out there at the moment now. So, yeah, it's hectic at the moment, trying to get the house done on maternity leave, trying to kind of get back gymming and that after being pregnant. So, yeah, it's busy.
Yeah, certainly is busy. You need a good team around you, and you have one
do.
Of the best in the country in the great TJ Reid. TJ, how are you?
Flying, yeah, can't complain. All is good.
Good man, good man. TJ, we're getting into the season. Are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, championship is around the corner, yeah. Weather is getting better, the grass is a lot greener, and the league is finished, and championship is starting now. So, obviously, any hurler, any footballer, championship is what you want to be playing, heading to Turles or heading to Páirc Uí Chaoimh or heading to Croagh Park. That's where you want to be playing. So yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, you want the big dogs in, all right. And we have one of them, our quantity surveyor, is Shay Lally. How are you, Shay?
Very well, yeah. Thank you. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Shay, you're busy on social media as well, your Instagram page. You might talk us through it.
Yeah, of course. So my Instagram page is called Houses to Restore. I set it up in 2020, kind of for the crack, to be honest. And it's just evolved into sort of a platform that, I suppose, highlights houses that are for sale that are in need of renovation, some of the work that we're doing ourselves on site. And then it kind of gives insights into how to go about things and that sort of stuff if you're undertaking a renovation project or thinking about taking on a renovation project.
So tell us, Shaden, like people who are doing self-builds, yeah. When do they need to kind of, when should they engage the professional of your profession?
It's a brilliant question, right? And I hate when people actually say that it's a brilliant question because it sounds like as if they're dodging the question. But a lot of the time,
he's
a politician as well.
He's rugby and all.
Leave the bluffing over here, Shay, will you?
So a lot of the time people go to an architect and then they get onto the QS. Whereas I think you should have a very, very early stage conversation with the QS to say, look, this is what we want to do. We only have 200 grand. Can we actually do what we want to do? Because what happens is they go off to an architect, they get sucked in by a really nice design, and then they realise a few months into the process, we can't actually afford what this architect's put in front of us. So I think a really early stage conversation before you even go down the route of having the conversation with the architect, I think it's a good idea to have a chat with the QS and just to see how far is my money going to go here and is this feasible? And if it's not feasible, how can we make it feasible? So a big thing I try and encourage people to do is do work in phases. Like we see things on Instagram, everything looks perfect. I have to do everything now. You don't. You can do the rooms you need now. And like, say you guys are doing a self-build, right? And I don't know, I've no idea how big the house is and hopefully I'll learn about that now in the episode. But say you have 5 bedrooms and in the here and now you only need 2 bedrooms. Like in some senses, you don't need to fit those 3 bedrooms out if budget is an issue. Whereas I think so many people think I have to get it all now, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's another side of it. If you don't have enough money, it's like, how do we make this happen? But how do we do it so as we're not throwing good money after bad? And what I mean by that is some people have a tendency to do loads of decorative work to their house, but the house actually needs to be rewired. So it's like, let's get the sequence of things right. Like let's get the house watertight. You know, if it's a house that needs to be restored or refurbished, like let's get it watertight so as any work then that we do isn't going to get damaged by a leaky roof or by rising damp.
Yeah.
And then things like the heating and the electrics, like they're just so important, you know.
Yeah.
Like, and then from there, the decorative stuff. And as I say, you can do as much of that as you want, as your budget allows, or as little as you need. And that's why I think it's good to have the early stage conversation with a QS to say, how far is my money going to go? And then you can have the chat then with the architect and say, look, we were chatting to a QS, we've 200 grand. QS has kind of advised us that we're only going to do A, B and C of our plan and go at it that way, you know?
Yeah.
And then develop that into the way you're going to get the design done or how you're going to engage with the architect.
Great advice. Yeah. Yeah, and Shay, you spoke about it there. Niamh, we're just nearly on nosiness sake. You might tell us about your project, your self-build. What are you taking on?
Yes, so we were living in TJ's home house for 5 or 6 years.
6 years, yeah.
So look, obviously we had the baby, we got married, we wanted to make the place our own. I'm originally from Limerick, very proud Limerick woman.
Hey.
So I moved up to Ballyhale and look, you're moving into kind of somebody else's home house, somebody else's territory. So look, it was very important for both of us to kind of have our family home, kind of ours, our unit. We had Harper. So that's kind of where it stemmed from. So we're renovating TJ's home house. There's a few things now, and we'll get into probably in the episode we didn't agree on. We did agree on, he got his way on some things. I got my way on some things.
I'd say very little now.
That's all right.
That's a typical answer.
That's the way to do it.
You got away with nothing.
I got nothing.
So we're renovating TJ's home house.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at the moment. We did put an extension on the back of it as well, and we refaced it. We knocked kind of walls internally, not all of them. But yeah, it's a renovation and an extension.
So tell us about the process being that, like, did you go to Instagram? Were you looking at where to get your ideas from? Or did you have an idea when you went up? There's no point asking you, TJ, because you got the only thing you get is the drawer and beside the bed. The man drawer beside the bed that's only all we ever get. What inspired you to go at the route you went?
In terms of the layout of the house, and that I'll be honest, TJ did all of that. That was one of the things we didn't agree on.
We've got involved in the colours and the interior design of things. In terms of the construction, I was very much hands-on. Obviously, both of us were hands-on, but obviously in terms of blocks and insulation, obviously Niamh wouldn't be that strong forte there. So I took charge of that, working alongside our architect and builder. And then once we're getting into the house now, so this is where Niamh is stepping in now with the lights and the colours and the kitchen and the walk-in wardrobe. So
that's always the most expensive part of the project.
Yeah, the most expensive part.
I've got to manage that part.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to worry.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You're playing to each other's strengths there, really, isn't it?
Well, that's it there, yeah. It was our home house, so obviously it was to make it our home and our dream home. And look, the challenge was to actually just start the house, because we were living in it for 6 years. We had everything in it, and then we had to move back in. We were comfortable, it was grand, you know.
Yeah.
So actually, the first step, the hardest step was actually to get a start date, to clear everything out, because we had to go everything out, get a container, put all our storage into it. We have to move back in with my father as well, which is only living up 50 metres from the home house. So actually going, that was probably the big challenge, really, was actually getting a builder in to gut everything out and clearing everything, because it took us probably a good 4 to 5 weeks to gut everything out and to bring up everything up to the father's house, and then obviously to store everything that we don't need until after the build.
And I was heavily pregnant. We were due Harper at that time, so we were lugging out things in and out of the house and the container. And we were
skips,
moving.
I say, we probably got rid of... Before, five years ago, we had three or four skips, and we thought we had everything cleared out.
Yeah.
And then when we started the house again, there's probably another five, six skips gone out as well. So it's amazing how much clutter he actually...
Yeah, I hope none of the metal's gone into the skip.
And then look, it's just the fact, do I need this? And there's stuff where now we're living up in the father's house with a bare minimum. And we're grand with it.
But we're both hoarders. Oh, no, I need to keep this hurl from... 1991. I'm like, you don't.
You're
not going to use it again.
And I have jerseys from...
Harper might use it.
And you probably know yourself, don't you? Okay, I have jerseys there from back 10 years ago. 100%. No, I want this and keep this. And you really don't. And it's in the container now, and I haven't seen the stuff for the last 5 months.
I get tough with my nieces and nephews, because Jenny, my wife, is always saying, give that to your niece, Siobhan. She's playing a good level of rugby now, and she'd love it. And I'm there... She'll have to earn her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no handy ones here.
Your mum with a full room would have been
Exactly. Yeah.
Give it to him as well.
Jay, that can be a hard balance, though, for people undertaking a project. Like, you listen to Niamh and TJ there. The emotional involvement as well of the house. You know, it's where TJ grew up, all the happy memories well. And, you know, you have to get the dynamic in that right.
Oh, yeah, that's a big challenge. Yeah, I guess, to be honest, a lot of the projects that we're actually doing our houses, people have bought.
Okay.
And they bought them, and they've seen them either on our Instagram page or whatever, or my Instagram page, and they've bought houses that don't necessarily have that emotional kind of affiliation too. So there's a lot of that, and the project we're doing in Drumcondra is actually a medical centre, so there's no kind of emotion to that. But yeah, totally, I can imagine that it is tough, very
just
tough.
Just back to you guys, what did you notice the difference in relation to sustainability and insulation and heat pumps? Where did you do your research, or where did you...
I'm looking at TJ.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll happen on the inside.
I could just wait for it. You're like me, Niamh. Why is the water cold?
Even on the inside, when you come into the inside, we'll ask you in relation to the colours and the vogue and all that. But I'm interested to see, because and Shay, will you know, like, buildings have moved on immensely in the last 5 years,
from totally.
Insulation to heat pumps to solar panels to PV panels. Yeah. So where did you come in that long? Where did I come from?
It's really, lucky enough, my age group have been building houses over the last probably three to five years. So I was lucky in that department where I could bring them, and obviously, you know, you'd be going in, checking their houses and looking for ideas that way. And my brother recently built a house in the last 5 years, and he put in air to water and stuff like that. So obviously having those close friends and on, I could voice my opinions off them and to get opinions off them in terms of, do you go air to water? Because we had a home house insulation. Wasn't the big thing in the home house built 40 years ago, you know, that the county walls.
But it didn't exist anymore, you know? Like, in fairness, like, yeah. Construction has just changed, you know.
And, you know, we were healthy, you know, we wake up in the morning time in November, December, and if you breed, you could see.
Like, why are you telling people
this? Yeah, no, but we've all been there.
And, you know, that was life back then. It was tough and it was hardy, and it was the way you're reared, you know. So obviously now it's insulation now, and it's all sustainability and that. But lucky enough, yeah, a good few of my friends have built in the last couple of years, so I've asked them for loads of opinions on air to water and solar panels and whatnot. And then you just have to make your own decision then as well, because you can ring 5 to 10 different lads and you could be still in a rut over it. So you just have to see what's going to be there in the next 5-10 years, whether there's no certainty oil will be here in the next 5-10 years. So obviously with the solar panels and air to water is the thing now, but in 5-10 years time, there might be something new as well. So you kind of have to go with what modern time and is happening and what trends are staying as well.
The burr rating, chat to us a little bit about that.
That's something that everyone is just so much more conscious of. Oh my God, just because of rising fuel prices and everything. So obviously when you buy a second-hand house, it comes with a BER rating, you know. A lot of houses that were built like in the 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, have a really low BER rating.
Like the 6 cents every morning.
Exactly, yeah.
And the third one 24/7.
So people are more conscious of it, you know, and that's been like the kind of focus of the conversation. And I know you guys are in the process of working on something behind the scenes that is related to that and how you can stretch your budget and cover certain things, which is absolutely class, you know. But essentially, like, I think, like, when people say BER rating and they're intending to stay in the house for 25 years, it's like, lads, the term BER mightn't even exist in 20 years when you go to sell this house. Like, how are we going to make this house warm and cozy for you to live in, comfortable and cheap to run? And I think when you put that emotion into it, people start thinking of it differently rather than some sort of science experiment and saying, oh, well, I have to get this letter from G up to a B1 or whatever the case may be, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's a huge part. And obviously then people are doing the stereotypical things. They're insulating their attic. That's a huge one. They're upgrading their heating in some shape or form. They're putting warm board or insulated plasterboard on the inside faces of all their window walls, if you like. They're changing the windows and the doors. They're putting
external insulation.
Yeah. External insulation, that's another one, you know. Some people are insulating the floors. So it just depends. So people are definitely way more focused and conscious of it now, absolutely, and they want it, you know. Whereas I don't, like, even when I first started the page in 2020, I don't even think people were as aware of it. I think just in the last little while, because costs have gone up so much, people are much, much, much more focused on it. They're talking about it. They want to know about it. They're interested in it, you know.
Yeah. Niamh and TJ, how much of a measurement tool was it for you starting out?
You can take this one, TJ.
I love it.
It's like, that window looks nice, we take it.
Yeah, done.
Yeah, look, it's a big thing because obviously we spent long enough in the house and in the freezing cold and lugging in plenty of coal and sticks into the stove. So yeah, look, it was to make the house as cozy and warm and friendly as we could. So look, we went triple glazed windows. Again, builder, I would have been happy with double glazed, but the builder went with triple glazed, just with better insulation and that. So we said, oh, right, okay. Then obviously insulation was obviously the smart decision, obviously. And look, there's no comparison because the insulations back 40 years ago was only 10 mil and now they're 50 mil.
Yeah,
you know,
so much it's advanced.
No, and look, you're going to put in insulation regardless. So Yeah, obviously the spec and the material are just 10 times better now. So yeah, the whole house is insulated now.
And we've got all our slabs and stuff from Chadwick's.
Yeah, get that in there. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Niamh.
Niamh's playing ball. Well done, Niamh.
Just paid for the episode.
But yeah, and then obviously, look, we looked at insulation and then we looked at ventilation as well because, again, speaking to friends and family members that went all in insulation, and the one thing that they did say that the house does become uncomfortable at times during the summer.
So the ventilation is an important piece.
Too warm.
Yeah, so we put it again. It wasn't the budget again. Seamus right now went to us. So
I said not to put it in, and I went down and was up there.
Yeah. Okay. So you put a ventilation system in.
Yeah, so what he said, what do you think about a mechanical ventilation system? And I said no, because an extra couple of thousand. But then he taught me spoke to me about the importance of it and the why behind it, and then spoke to a few people in the industry about it, and they said that, look, I would highly recommend a ventilation system, because look, you spend them, I don't know, 20,000 to 30,000 on insulation, and then you're not thinking about ventilation. So I would tell people to think about ventilation as well, because nothing worse going into the house than this clammy, and you can't even catch your own breath. Rather than mechanical ventilation, just bring in new fresh air, take out all the bad air, and it'll bring in all new fresh air, which is very important as well, because as I said, you want a nice house, but you don't want it uncomfortable either.
So Niamh, we're not leaving you out. In relation to the kitchen then, the colour, so kitchen practicality, like babies come on, one baby done, I'm sure. You know, how did you work that out in yourself? What did you do the design wise?
We are working with an interior designer as well, Sarah Louise Interiors. So she was able to kind of advise. Now we did have, with the kitchen especially, particularly, we did have kind of an idea of where we wanted things, and we've worked alongside her with that, and our builder Seamus Ryan as well, he's a local lad from Ballyhale, so he kind of had his input as well, and the kitchen maker as well. So look, can we all kind of work together on it to get the best out of the kitchen, to utilise the space as best that we could. But with the colours and that, I kind of took ownership of that. He wanted a dark island, I didn't, so we don't
blue,
have one.
Yeah, I want the blue. I like blue.
And it's interesting, how did you, the interior designer piece, how did you find working with the interior designer? What benefit do you believe, if someone's listening to the show and they're thinking about an interior designer, what kind of benefits is there in that piece?
Yeah, so she was great, or they are great, in terms of things like the electrics, where to hang lights, because a wall light will be going there, or there's a piece of art that I'm going to hang in our living space. So advising if we go to put an electric wire above that, like we wouldn't have known, or wouldn't even have thought about that. Things in terms of where to put the different lights to utilise the space the most, to make kind of as bright as possible, the right places to put it. The positioning of things. Again, for me with the interior designer was utilising the space as best we could, because I didn't know where to put things. And the second thing was kind of tying it all in together in terms of the colour and making sure the rooms, there was a lovely flow between the rooms, because I didn't want the house very disjointed. It's our forever home. And as Shay mentioned there, it's doing it in phases. Like, it's a four-bedroomed house. We're probably not going to do all four bedrooms at once. They don't all need to be done at once. So it's just about doing it in phases and things like that. So we worked with the interior designer, actually kind of helped a bit on that. But no, we do. I'm really, really beneficial and so glad. I'm constantly kind of over and back to her on WhatsApp with ideas. Our builder's over and back to her. But yeah, we have found it beneficial.
Can I ask a question just on that? Do you find you get a bit of fatigue from decision making? You know what I mean? Just, it's all consuming and you're thinking about it the whole time. You're making comparisons between colours. Like, you were on about the island there, TJ, but just the non-stop decision making.
I think that was the big one, wasn't it?
So with the house, I had kind of decided the style. I think TJ might have originally wanted maybe kind of a modern-y farmhouse. But that changed.
Okay, yeah. But you can actually think that you're into that style, and it isn't until you get exposed to other things that you realise, no, this is, you know, it nearly educates you to your taste.
So what I did was I had started saving mood boards on Pinterest. And when I went back and like kind of took a second to step back and look at all of the different things I had saved, there was kind of a flow and a theme, and that, like, I wasn't, when I was scrolling, I wasn't purposely looking for like modern farmhouse. Like, I was just saving things I liked. Mm-hmm. And then when I looked at it kind of looked at the mood board as a whole, there was kind of a specific style. So it's kind of like modern classical was what it kind of fell on. But I wasn't kind of Googling modern classical. Yeah. I was just saving what I liked.
Just nearly phoned you.
Yeah, something like that. Well, yeah.
And Shay, same question to you in relation to how things have moved on since you started in the quantity survey in place. What have you seen, you know, modernised wise in relation to insulation and sustainability?
I guess for me, like my career as a QS started out in commercial fit out. So I was working in commercial fit out, and the house thing was something that was never really on the radar, to be honest, you know. And then obviously I set up the page and that's totally changed. So the last couple of years, I've actually learned a whole pile myself, like in the last 2-3 years from loads of people. Like there's a great guy, Fergal Cantwell, who's taught me a lot about heat pumps and all that sort of stuff. And he runs a company called Envirobeat. Fergal's a great guy, you know. And I think the other thing is the interior designer that Niamh mentioned. I think a lot of people, not the specific interior designer, but just interior designers in general, I think they're always a step ahead. And I think people see it as a luxury, but actually a good interior designer can save you an awful lot of money. Because if you wanted to put that cable over your light in 6 months' time, yeah, it would cost you a lot more money. Mm. Whereas to do it now, it probably would cost a third of the price that it would have cost 6 months' time.
Yeah.
And they have connections with suppliers and all that sort of stuff. So there's little things like that, you know, that you, I suppose, over the last couple of years that I've realised that, okay, there's an additional cost for, say, the likes of an interior designer. But it's actually worth tapping into, you know.
And the government have recently announced some changes to the property scope in relation to vacant properties.
Yeah, it's great.
So they've moved from, I think it's 30,000 to 50,000 on a vacant property.
Yeah.
And 50,000 to 70 for the renovation piece.
Yeah, 100%.
You think that'll make a difference to the market?
There's a lot of people available. A lot of people have been in contact with me about it and have completed a lot of forms for a lot of people. So people were very keen on getting 30,000. So I think to get 50,000, and also you're now able to buy a property and actually rent it out. And I think that's going to appeal to a lot of people, you know, maybe people who are overseas or something who see themselves coming back to Ireland, but they might just avail of that money now, you know,
yeah.
Obviously there's criteria and stuff, but yeah, I think it's huge. I think it's going to be great. Like I was down in the place in Rathangan in County Kildare there about 2-3 weeks ago. And if like, you look at places like that, you'd kind of hope that that would revive maybe the main town or the main strip, you know, the village. Yeah.
Brilliant.
So Shay, hopefully, yeah.
You might take us through the difference, what you're seeing between rural and urban.
Oh, yeah. I guess the big thing is access. Like if you're building something on the South Circular Road or if you're renovating a house in the South Circular Road, there might be nowhere to put a skip. Whereas you were talking about skips there a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
You could have probably 6 skips outside your door and probably have space for another 16 skips if you wanted to. Mm. So that's a huge thing, you know. So that like makes things different in Dublin, if you like, or an urban area, because you have to maybe bring stuff down loads of stairs and then you're saying, okay, where are we going to put this stuff, you know? So you need more manpower there. Whereas in a house like your house, and if you're stripping it out, you can have a skip there and you can just throw it into the skip as you're going, you know. So it's less labor intensive, it's done quicker, it's done cheaper, you know. So that's a huge thing. And even just getting materials delivered, like windows and the bulky things, you know, like that's access is again an issue in Dublin in a lot of places, whereas it's not. And even parking, like lads who are plumbers and that, and they're coming to site and there's no parking on site, you know, that's automatically, like, if depending on if you have a job on, say, a Merrion Square, it's 360 an hour there, so it's an extra 25 quid a man day, if you like, because they have to cover the cost of the van. Whereas coming to your house, there's none of that, you know. Now, obviously, if you're in the suburb, it's totally different because you can park in a suburb and that's fine. But the kind of more city centre sort of stuff, you're Dublin 2, you're Dublin 4, you're Dublin 6-8, you know. And then Cork city centre or Waterford, whatever, you know.
Yeah. And Che, what are you seeing in terms of trends? Is there a difference between urban and rural? Is there different...
Well, I think people have bigger spaces maybe in the rural, don't they? Whereas in urban, you have to make more of the space that you have on hand and you're more restricted. Whereas I guess in the rural, you have a bit more scope, maybe you have a bit more space.
Yeah.
So that's a huge thing, you know?
I'd say you're seeing quite smart ways to use space.
Oh, yeah, 100%,
areas.
Yeah. And I think, like, you know, RTE Home of the Year that was on, like, that was a great example of some of the properties that featured. They were tiny, like, absolute bijou houses, and they had everything in them. And I think it makes you realise, you know what, you don't actually need loads of space. You just need to be really crafty and use the space that you have on to hand, you know? And you also see loads of people and they extend, and then maybe they might have an existing living room to the front of the house, and that's just totally ignored. They don't even use that room, and they just live in the extension. And it's like, lads, did you not think of the space they actually have to see how you can actually reimagine your existing space?
Just maybe don't watch those programs with your wife. That's all your partner.
That's it, yeah, yeah.
Your wife or partner, because it costs you money.
You need a good room, though, Shay. You always need a good room. TJ, what have you found the biggest challenges since taking it all on?
Moving out. Moving out, yeah, obviously, because that was the big step. The process is the process, and we invested into a good builder to take all the guesswork out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, we're running a gym and playing hurling and being married and having a baby. It wasn't something that was going to be a priority to me. So it was actually to go and invest in a good builder. Lucky enough in Ballyhale, there's great tradesmen's in Ballyhale.
Good builders merchants as well.
Yeah, good merchants. Yeah, Chadwick's, Tony Duggan, yeah, are the manager down there.
I love that. You know him so well. Yeah. I'd say he sees you walking in going, oh no, here we go.
he's hurling mad.
Yeah. Okay, he's the kettle on for you.
Yeah, but no, I knew Tony before we actually purchased stuff off of Chadwick's. So, but yeah, it was getting people that I knew and I could trust to take care of the place, because, you know, I'm gone 2 or 3 evenings a week with training and whatnot, and inside run the gym as well, so I couldn't be there every day. I'm there most days in the morning and evening times as well, and Eve is there most days as well. But to actually invest into a professional that is going to take care of the place and is going to do it as best he could. So he's treating it, he's top class, he's treating it as it's his own place.
Yeah, well.
Which we love about it, because maybe some builders, I don't know, that we give them the plans and just go off and do it, and in and out, they're gone.
Yeah,
Seamus. Now, if he doesn't like something, he'll ring. Like, geez, I think we should change this wall here.
That's brilliant.
Or he's very passionate about what he does.
Yeah. Okay. So I think so. There's no. The challenges then is picking colours and light fittings, and that's where the interior designer came in then, because that took all the guesswork out, because we haven't a clue about lighting or what fixing goes where or what colour handles are you putting on the doors, and we were like, I don't know, or where are you going to put your light sockets, and we were like, we don't know. So getting people in to that takes all the stress away, because when you're building the house, there's no questions, the blocks up, roof on, insulation done, but now it's all questions about certain things. Where
did you have any challenges? Did anything crop up during the build where the builder rang and said, right, we have a problem here, there's no insulation, there's no foundation problem, there's
so we in the new build, the part we built on, and then the kitchen, so in the old bungalow it was a kitchen, utility, sitting room, so we knocked all those walls, so it was a big kitchen area. So Seamus then thought about putting underfloor heating down, so then that was the challenge, but to dig down, then we'd get a little small little digger, and we had to dig down the floor to pour concrete and insulation and get the underfloor heating on. That was one challenge, and look, it's practical, because your kitchen is probably where you spend 80% of your time. And then the next challenge was, he wanted to raise the ceiling in the kitchen as well, and we were like, right, okay, how much and what needs to be done?
how much
all
is
these
the
amazing
first question?
Ideas, and I was like, do them all. And TJ's like, hold on, go for it.
The gym's only open 24 hours.
So he did. So we thought that we'd be able to keep the house and just take a bit of the lats off and maybe go up, but no, we had to take the whole roof off, and we went up to a vaulted ceiling now, which is 10 foot, which a normal roof is 7.5, 8 foot. It was an investment, because the kitchen, as I said, we wanted the kitchen to be a wow factor, and when you walk in, you're like, because as I said, it was an old family home. So we wanted to make it something different.
Yeah.
And so once you step in the front door, you're like, geez, this is new. This is like a new house. So the front of the house looks similar enough, but we wanted the inside end to look totally new. And look, it cost a few bob. But obviously, when you're doing your home house, you're investing.
Yeah, and do it well,
You do it well, because it's people might have a short-term memory, but it's long-term. You're talking 30, 40 years. So that's why we made a decision. So there are the two challenges. Other than that, is just knocking a few walls and building studs back up. That was the two main things. But enjoyable as well, because we were heading down now, and we're seeing it, and there's a bit of pride and a bit of passion in it now, and we're seeing we're seeing the changes there now. And as I said, then when the family walk in, then they're able to walk through the room. So just that's where I stayed and whatnot.
Yeah,
as well.
Brilliant.
So that's where
good memories.
Yeah, good memories.
That's
the
great thing about construction, though, isn't it? It's so visual,
Yeah.
And like, I'm a really visual person myself. That's what I love about it. It's like what you're saying there. You see a visual transformation, you know, it's just, it's great. Like, and it's like that. You go for a walk and you think, Jesus, look at all the work the lads have done in the last week or so. And the transformation it makes, just amazing.
But Niamh, if you do it well, it can feel exactly like TJ's, the spirit of the old house. So when his family do come in, you know what I mean? It feels like at home, but that's a challenge in itself.
Yeah, definitely. Because look, as I said, I'm originally from Limerick. You'd be very conscious that, like, when they come in and, like, you kind of want, like, when TJ's brothers call down and his nephews and that, like, I love bringing them in to show them the work.
Yeah.
And, like, you do definitely do kind of have a sense of pride in the place. And again, I am very conscious that it would have been their home house. So, like, when they want to come down to see the bits, I'm like, God, I'll go down, I'll open the door, let's have a look around. Mm. And his brothers are really, really into kind of the house things anyways. His brother had recently built in the last few years. And so they've been super helpful as well. So yeah, it is their home house, but we're kind of making it our own now for our family.
Yeah, because we did the same. Myself and Jenny moved into Jenny's parents' house.
Yeah.
But what happens now at Christmas is all her family have come home. But they basically take it like they're back home. So they rearrange the fridge and stuff like this. And they're like, who puts yogurts up on the top press? And I'm there when you have Don't four little eyes. Monsters that can get their hands on them quite easily. I do. So it's probably trying to get that dynamic that it's yours. But what we notice as well, we live differently now, don't we? Like in Jenny's parents' house, they had a tiny kitchen, but a big dining room, which is just...
And a good room.
And a good room, which we just would have no time for now.
No, we do have kind of a good, and this was in the extension part where I kind of wanted to have the bedroom and walk-in wardrobe, but TJ was really adamant that he wanted a big living space out the back. And look, I can't imagine the house any other way now because we have this beautiful space in the back that we're going to use when we have people over. So you're not having to have people sitting on the kitchen chairs and pulling them in. The room was going to be there. It's going to be for entertaining. We're going to hopefully spend a lot of time in there and make lovely memories. But yeah, it's definitely back in the day, it would have been like the smaller kitchen, the little utility room. Now it's just the way things have changed. Like when we were doing the house, it was all about kind of creating as much space as we could, making it comfortable and making it our own.
Shay, a self-build is costly. A bit of advice, how do you stop it spiraling out of control?
Oh God.
Now we're getting to that hard issue, Shane.
Did you write that question on the list?
No, I just read it out. Pat put it down on my notes. He was too scared to ask.
I think you need to be strict with yourself though and say, what do I need to do in the here and now? Like the electrics thing that we're talking about. I get those things sorted and then maybe, I won't say compromise on the fixtures and fittings, but like a utility room is mentioned there. Maybe hold off and not fitting utility room presses and fitting them maybe in 6 or 12 months time when more money becomes available. So I think you have to have your priorities, like what we were saying, if money is an issue and you're going to have to phase the work in some degree, there's some things you're going to have to sacrifice along the way, and in some senses you're better off not doing some things like not fitting the utility presses and then getting it done in a couple of months if it means you can do something else, you know, or if something crops up and you realise, if you're working with an old house and you realise, you know, you uncover something and there's a bit of foundation that needs to be redone or a wall that needs to be rebuilt or there's a structural issue or you realise the roof is actually knackered and that has to go and then you're in trouble money-wise. That's how I'd approach a situation like that, you know.
Niamh and TJ, how are your negotiating skills? How have you found that side of it?
I could tell you they're very good.
Good on you, Niamh.
I laugh at this now because I let TJ manage all of that side of it. Okay. He worked in sales before, so I let him take that one.
Yeah, I made a decision to myself, just ring one or two people. Don't be ringing 5-6 different people because then you're probably going to only waste time, and time is money. So I got 2 or 3 quotes and then just obviously seeing the best price. And obviously the cheaper price mightn't be the best decision either. Yeah. Obviously you can get cheaper products, but again, you might be spending more money in the long run in terms of fixing things back up. But yeah, look, there's always a deal to be got, and we probably saved a couple of hundred euros or a couple of thousand euros here and there. But again, you could waste time ringing people each week, and you could lose 2 or 3 weeks very easily by shopping around and pricing people. And the way things are, you know, majority of suppliers now, there's not a whole lot of difference unless you're getting a way cheaper product, and then then it's not price by price, you know. So on that, you know, we had good trades and good suppliers, and then we trusted that we're getting the best price as well, and then just going for it, really, because I said you could waste weeks and months there by looking for price rather than going by good people.
That's a massive part of it as well, though. And you speak about your builder as well. There is that trust element of it all.
I ring him as well. Look, I got a price for this. And he'll say, yeah, look, that's decent. Yeah, look, I think that's a good price. Or, geez, that's a little bit expensive. Look, I might know a guy that I might ring there and get a second quotation. And, you know, and then there could be a couple of hundred euros there in the difference. And then... Yeah. You ring back the first person, you say, look, hey, you need to sharpen your pencil there.
Yeah.
And then he might do something on then as well. And then you might go back to the second person and you might get a few more bob off him.
Cut this space for the interview with me. There's only one price.
Absolutely.
Yeah. TJ, you might tell us a bit, because you're not on that's the thing, is a free lunch. There's a bit about the gym and what's it called and how's it going and how did you get into it and why did you get into it?
Yeah, it's called TJ's Health and Fitness. I've no ego, but obviously, look, it's a brand name in Kilkenny, so I obviously with a gym in Kilkenny, my hometown, so obviously it's to keep the name simple.
Yeah.
But just 6 years ago, it's a health and fitness club. It's 15,000 square feet, but back then, it was about creating something new for myself, and obviously hurling. You'll be around for maybe 5-10 years and whatnot. So obviously I wanted to build something for myself, so I'll have something when I do retire. So 6 years gone, I invested into a good business partner as well, Richard Connolly, because the 15,000 square feet Hilton Fitness Club cost probably $500,000, so it was a big decision, but the right decision at the time, and obviously a lot of stress involved with opening a gym because I had zero members, and obviously Kilkenny is a very competitive place in terms of the market on health and fitness clubs. So but that was the drive and that was the vision. I had a vision of creating something class in Kilkenny, something different, and create the best gym facility in Kilkenny, a state-of-the-art premises. And because I knew there was a market there for it, so we started the online business as well. So before COVID, we were thinking about going online, or will we or won't we? And then when COVID came in, pushed us that way, that market, and now we have a fabulous market there now that we can train people all over the world now on an online basis. And obviously the gym is in Kilkenny, which is you know, you can only have a certain market there, but with the online, then you can push out the market as much as you can.
Yeah, and actually, TJ, I'd nearly thank you for it. Whatever about what you've done on the hurling pitch, just my nephew, hurling mad, but during lockdown, exactly that, struggling to get going, get motivated, and what we were putting online kept him so engaged, kept him on it, and kept him nearly dreaming of the big days ahead.
We met a fund, so each trained every Tuesday and Thursday. And really, look, I like doing stuff and I like creating stuff, and I'm very, I have a good creativity. So I wanted to do something that's going to, you know, obviously benefit me by occupying time and effort. And at least I had something to look forward to on a weekly basis, because each week then I had to get prizes, spot prizes. And then
it was very high tech. So I used to be in the background with my phone with the championship song up to the
mic. Brilliant. Brilliant, Niamh.
But Jay was the Sunday game anthem. Was the lead into it. And look, there were kids from all over Ireland, and again, worldwide as well, tuning in as well, and again, giving those people spot prizes as well was great to keep them active and keep them going over lockdown as well. But no, that was great. I really enjoyed it because
and it kind of took off. I think they only intended on doing it once or twice, and people kept being like, "When's next week?"
100%.
I thought COVID was going to last 6 weeks. I had to do it for.
Didn't we all?
and I had to do it for three or four months.
Was
like, "Oh my god!"
But it's cool for internet. Like, if you're an Irish person living abroad and then for your child to be able to tap into that. Oh, that's yeah. why I haven't yeah. come across until now. Like, but agreed. That's cool. Fair play to you.
Have a look for Dunica's video. It's out there somewhere.
No chance. Stay away from Dunica's videos. It only ends in one bad one. Niamh, tell us, how do you manage it all? You know, you mentioned like how busy you are, your beautiful family with Harper, but the gym, you know, I know how much time things like social media can take up of your day. How do you keep a hold of the daily grind?
Yeah, look, probably why TJ and I get on so well. The both of us are so driven. Like, we can't sit still. Mm. Like, it's very rare that we'd stay out in Ballyhale for the day. We're always up. We're always going. We're always working on something. I think that's just instilled in us from both of our parents, I think. So to me, people often say to me, how do you keep going? How do you do this? How do you do that? Like, I don't really know any different. It's both of my parents, if you know them or met them, they are extremely driven as well. And when you surround yourself with people like that, and that would have been my upbringing as well. But as I said, I'm on maternity leave from work at the moment. I'm just enjoying spending as much time with my little girl as I can. Don't get me wrong, it is like it can be tough work when especially they don't sleep, but she looks at you in the morning there at her little face and you're like, oh God, I can't be cross at you.
I'll be cross at you, fella.
Somebody else gets
hit
the blood.
No dinner, no cups of tea.
But yeah, look, with the social media thing, that, like Shay, it started out for me a while back as a bit of a hobby. I very much always said about my social media and my approach to it, like, I have no plan in terms of I'm doing X amount of reels a week, I'm doing X amount of posts, I'm doing X amount of stories. I don't have a marketing plan for my social media. It is very much based around my lifestyle. Like, I don't post on my grid that often. I don't create loads of content. I come on and I talk about real life. I talk about if I'm going to the gym, if I don't get to the gym, like my struggles with the baby not sleeping, the house things, which I enjoy, like going to events, getting dressed up, doing like the glam side of it. But again, there's no marketing approach. I don't enjoy it. I tried that for a while, being more structured with it. I didn't enjoy it. Like, social media is very much for me.
I'd agree. Yeah. I'm the same. Like,
yeah. So just share as I go.
No structure behind mine at all, to be completely honest. Apart from one structure behind mine, and it's to have a house that's for sale, that's in turnkey condition every Sunday. That's the only thing I try and do.
Okay.
That's all.
Shay, to be fair, you're quite clear with your goals for it. Like, you mentioned them earlier on when you set out for it, and there's another one. But maybe just advice, because everyone seems to want to show that side, especially when it comes to, you know, self-builds and... Yeah.
Like, I've been down, like, I'm like TJ in a sense. Like, I have a few other things on the go outside of construction. Like, I have a music education company that's really successful, and we teach kids in schools all over Ireland, you know, and it's something I don't really bring to the fore through the Instagram, you know, but I have that like 12 years now. So I'm like you guys in the sense that I'm always on something. But I've tried other things like over the years, and some things you try really hard at doing, like what I said at the start, and it just doesn't come to pass. Like, whereas when you actually just are natural about it and you just talk from the heart and you just say it, what you feel, and you're yourself and you're authentic and you're not coming up with some kind of bullshitty sort of script, or as Niamh said, like a marketing plan that is just not you, when you're trying to do something that is new, I think you just kind of have to have a bit of crack with it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think because I put up Quantity Surveyor, I think people expect it to be in one kind of direction and very cost based, you know. One thing I might consider for the page is actually losing that off to the bio, the word Quantity Surveyor, because I think people just assume I'm a bit boring, like, you know, but behind it all, I'm not really, you know.
Surely they would see the skill of it as
100%, yeah. Mm. But I think some people kind of put a QS in a box, you know, and I don't like boxes, to be honest, like, because I do different things, you know.
Mm.
But yeah, so that's been my approach. I kind of just try and be authentic and just personalize it and just not be worrying about like how many followers you have, or not being worried about how many pairs of eyes are on the content, or if someone likes a post, or if someone doesn't like a post. You just go with the flow and just do what you enjoy and like get what you want out of it. And if you're not feeling like posting this week, or if you want to take a break from it for a week, just take a break from it. You know, don't be putting yourself under pressure to have to be on your social media, you know. If something else happens in your life and you just don't have the time to give to it, you know, or whatever, so what, like, you know, just take that break.
Yeah. Niamh, with the whole experience, the self-build, what advice would you give to yourself starting out, or anyone else starting out on it now?
I think just be mindful of all of the different things that you see on social media. You can set these really, really high expectations of all these like houses in the Beverly Hills, and she's like, the stuff I was sending him, and he just kept texting back being like, will you dream on, girl? Like, it just, you really have to set your expectations in terms of what you see online. You do need to be realistic as well. if you are in a position to work with a really good builder, and if there are local tradesmen that you can get, like, we had Owen Cody, who plays TJ, his dad did our blocks. We had Joey Holden's uncle, Martin Holden, is our architect.
Oh, wow.
We leaned into a lot of the local community to help us with the house, and Seamus, our builder, is local.
Ah, brilliant.
If you can, like, you trust them, you know they're not going to do you too wrong.
Yeah, but that must be great for them as well. Like, that's pure community, lads, isn't it? You know, like, that's Niamh and TJ's house.
It's not voluntary, though, which are...
Yeah, it's voluntary.
Yeah,
of course, yeah, but there's a bit of care as well, TJ, that they know it's for you and your family.
Yeah, and I just, like, look, as I said, like, living in Ballyhale, like, I always say there's such a lovely sense of community, and look, the sport is such a big part to play in that. That, like, look, I absolutely love living there. Like, I grew up in the city and now I'm living, like, in the sticks. But, like, it's brilliant. So that bit of advice, you can lean into local people that you do trust, that you do have relationships with, and then just be mindful of your expectations with your mood boards.
Yeah, okay, very good, great advice. Shay, I'll go to you as well. What would your advice be to someone starting out?
Oh, I think it's to do your homework. A lot of people are clueless, you know, so talk to the right people and get advice, be it off your friends or off a professional. Talk to someone you trust.
Okay.
I think that's very, very important. And then, like what I was saying already, you know, I'm kind of reiterating a little bit, it's just to see what's realistic for your budget. So as you're managing your own expectations. And
is that where you'd start, Shay?
The budget.
With the budget.
Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's important to see how far your money can go. And yeah, I know situations like with your sympathy ventilation, like, things are going to crop up, you know, so it is good to have a few bob there. You know, if you're saying 200 grand, but actually you really have 220, there's no harm in having 20 grand there somewhere, because something like that is going to crop up. You are going to find something there. You're going to decide on something that's going to cost you more money. And then it's the phase, and be open to that, you know, be open to things. Like, start with the end in mind. So say, this is the end that I want, but how am I going to get there? And it might be possible for you to do that with your means in the here and now to get to that end straight away. So it's to see how you can structure that and how you can phase that, essentially. And as I say, just talk to people who have, like what you did, like you guys did, talk to people you know who've done it, and get good professionals in.
TJ, it'd be wrong not to ask you. We're coming into it, All-Ireland season. How do you think it'll fare out? Of course, you know, Kilkenny close to your heart, but just in all the championship itself, how do you see it panning out?
Yeah, look, it's all kicking off now. Munster's hot and heavy there, so it is, and Leinster's hot and heavy as well, so... plenty of excitement, obviously, because of the way that the Munster and Leinster is structured. So any loss now is puts pressure on any team now. So but look, it's starting off. The league is finished. Obviously, Limerick were a step ahead in the league. But I wouldn't be focused on that too much, really, because league is the league at the end of the day. And yeah, and championship is different pace, and it's different. It's different. You know, the environment, the stadium, the atmosphere is different, and obviously, I think a lot of teams were very conscious of last year, whereas some teams were kind of peaked too early for the league, and then they couldn't peak then for championship. So I think the championship is going to be different. I think there's going to be a few different results, I think, definitely.
That's the beauty of it at the moment, though, TJ, isn't it? Like, of course, a bit like yourselves, Limerick out in front from last year in the league and all that, but looking at any team on their day, it's so competitive.
Very competitive, yeah. At the minute, as I said, Limerick are a step ahead, but again, they're going to be under serious pressure. Like any team, there's pressure on every game. But that's what makes hurling GAA so enjoyable, because you go to any game now and it's competitive, and if you don't perform, any team can beat you. So look, it's going to be an exciting championship. So it is, and hopefully weather will start to pick up as well, and because championship hurling is associated with nice summer's eve and heading to Turles or heading to Nolan Park or heading to Crow Park, that's what you love playing for, you know. So
we used to go the opposite way with rugby. When the ground started to get like that, we were there, get us off and get the hurlers on this.
Yeah.
It's not made for us.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. Lads, we leave it there. Thank you so much, Niamh, TJ and Shave. Brilliant chat, and really, really enjoyed it. You were so welcome in joining us on Under Construction. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
The Under Construction podcast is produced by the podcast studios for Chadwicks. Ireland's leading building merchant company, where you can choose from the best products and expert advice to get the job done. Drop into any of your local Chadwick stores nationwide or visit us online at chadwicks.ie.